Merry Christmas, everyone. This is such a joyous and awesome occasion to gather together to celebrate the birth of our Lord, to celebrate the incarnation, God becoming man, to celebrate together as a family. Oftentimes when families get together, there's a sharing of stories, and so I'd like to share a story with you. This story comes from Paul Harvey, a famous radio show host. The story goes that a man who was generally a good man was struggling with this concept of the incarnation, struggling with this idea of what we celebrate at Christmas. And so when his wife and kids were getting ready to go to Mass, he didn't really want to go because he wasn't confident that he even believed in what is being celebrated. So he decides he's going to stay home, and his wife and kids go off. And he's staying there at the farm, and shortly after they leave, it starts to snow, and he goes over by the fireplace and picks up his newspaper and gets himself pretty comfortable, when all of a sudden he hears a thud, and he's startled by it, and he's not sure where it was from or why it happened. And then he hears another thud. And as these thuds keep taking place, he thinks maybe someone's outside throwing snowballs at his window, because that's where it sounds like it's coming from. So he rushes to the door to see if he can find out who it is that's doing this. And he doesn't see any human being. Instead, he sees a flock of birds kind of huddled in the snow not far from that window. And he thinks to himself, they must have been caught in the storm. Well, being the decent, good guy that he is, he didn't want them to freeze to death, so he decided he'll open up the barn, and they can go in the barn, and they can be saved that way. So he goes over to the barn, and he opens the door, and he turns the light on, thinking, you know, that'll be enough. They'll find their way. And he waits, and they don't come. So he thinks, okay, I'll come up with something else. I'll get a bunch of breadcrumbs, and I'll create this trail that'll lead them right to the barn. It'll be super easy. They'll follow it. Then they'll be saved. Then they'll have a nice warm place to stay until this storm is over. But they didn't seem interested in the breadcrumbs either. So he thinks about it and decides, well, maybe I can herd them or kind of chase them into the barn. And when that was unsuccessful, he thought, well, maybe I can catch them and just carry them into the barn. But with these attempts, it just scattered the flock even more. And he started to get frustrated and tried thinking, what is going on? Why won't they just go into the barn and be safe? And then he realized that they're probably afraid of him, that he must be some sort of strange and terrifying creature, especially after he chased them and tried to catch them. So he tried to ponder, okay, if they're afraid of me, how can I help them? How can I get them to be safe in the barn? And as he's pondering this question, he realizes, well, if he was a bird and he interacted with them like other birds, then they would listen. Then they could perhaps follow him. He could set an example, and he can help them out and lead them into the barn. And as he had that thought, the church bells rang to signify the beginning of midnight Mass. And as the church bells rang, it hit him. That's the point of the incarnation. That's why God became man. Because we as human beings needed to be saved. But we're terrified of God. We don't understand him. We don't trust him. We're not sure how to get to safety. We can't get there on our own. But if God became man, if he became one of us and talked to us as we talk to each other, then he can lead us to safety. Then he can save us. Now, it isn't saving us from death by freezing that Jesus became man, but rather to save us from eternal death, to lead us to eternal life, to lead us with union with him forever in heaven. And so Jesus became man in order to bring about our salvation. But that's not the only reason. He also became man in order to reveal to us love. If we think about love, love is expressed in many ways, and one of the ways love is expressed is by enduring suffering for the one that you love. Jesus, through his birth, passion, death, and resurrection, he shows us, as he suffered tremendously on the cross, how much he loves us. If we think about it, a parent who's trying to get some sleep and has a young child, maybe an infant or a toddler, crying in the middle of the night is going to get up and help the child, even though it causes them to be deprived of sleep. That is a kind of suffering. And yet the parent would do that without thinking of it as suffering because of the tremendous and awesome love that the parent has for the child. And so it is with God. The tremendous and awesome love he has for us is why he was willing to undergo such suffering. And to make that love evident, he's willing to undergo such suffering, to show us how much he loves us. It's a profound and awesome reality. But he also shows us how we are to get to heaven. We can't bring ourselves to heaven. It's only by God's grace that we can do that. But how is it that we receive that grace? How is it that we live a life accepting and cooperating with the grace of God? It's easier if we have an example, if we are shown what that looks like. And for that reason, too, God became man. God took on human flesh, became one of us, to show us how to live a good and holy life, to show us the way to heaven. But God also became human because he wanted to share with us his own life, his divine life, the life of God. Through the sacraments, we are made like God by grace. We have a share in the divine life of God. We have sanctifying grace. We become more like God the more grace of God we receive. And so God became man so that human beings, so that man can become God. Not multiple gods, but united with the one true God. And through that union, we become like him. We become like God. And so Jesus came to save us. He came to reveal the love of God. He came in order for us to know the path to heaven, the path of holiness. He came in order to share his divine life in love with all of us. It's an amazing thing. But sometimes we can just think, oh, well, that's a nice story. That's a legend. It's something that happened so long ago. We don't really know that that's true, do we? And the answer is yes, we do know that that's true. In fact, we know exactly where it happened. The place of Jesus' birth is in Bethlehem. And we built a giant church on top of it because it's so important to us. It's the Church of the Nativity. I've been there twice. Once in January of 2017, and then again in February 2019. I saw the place where Jesus was born. And in that same cave where he was born is where the manger was. And we know where the manger is today. Most of the pieces of the manger in the 7th century were sent to Rome because of invaders in the Holy Land. So to protect that relic, it was sent to Rome, and it's currently, most of it, is at St. Mary Major in Rome. A few years ago, Pope Francis took a portion of the manger and sent it back to Bethlehem so that pilgrims who visit the site of Christ's birth will also have a relic of the manger where our Lord was laid. So we have the site, we have the relic. I got to see the spot where the manger was when the wise men came and visited Jesus. We know where it is. This site hasn't been lost. Similarly, we know where Jesus was crucified. We know where Mount Calvary is. And it kind of sounds really tall, you know, like Mount Calvary. It's actually only about 30 feet tall. A little bit unimpressive in that regard, but being the spot where Jesus gave up his life for the salvation of the world, it was still quite impressive to visit that site. We know where the tomb of Jesus is. It's very short distance away from Calvary, from the site of the crucifixion. It's so small a distance that we only built one giant church on top of the two locations. And I was blessed in 2019 not only to be there and visit the site of the tomb, the place of the resurrection, but also to celebrate Mass there. It was perhaps one of the happiest moments of my life. If you're ever in the Holy Land and you're at any of these holy sites where the things that we hear about in the Bible actually took place, then when you celebrate Mass there, you celebrate the Mass of the site, not the Mass of the day. So even though I was there in February, I celebrated Easter Sunday Mass in the tomb at the site of the resurrection. Now, being such a popular site, I only had a very limited amount of time. They only gave me 25 minutes, which to try to do the whole Easter Sunday celebration in 25 minutes is kind of a challenge. But I was super excited, so that gave me a lot of energy. And I got done in 23 minutes. But I'd rather not celebrate Easter Sunday Mass that quickly again. That being said, the fact that we know where these sites are points to the reality of these historical events, that this isn't just legend, this actually happened. And we have the historical evidence to back that up. And so to be mindful of these realities, of the incarnation, of the passion, death, and resurrection, of how much God loves us and wants us to be in relationship with him, can make a difference in our lives. I mean, imagine having as your best friend the God of the universe. Like, if you ever wanted to know what to do, you know someone who knows exactly what you should do. It would be God. And he wants a relationship with you now here on earth so that you can be with him forever in heaven, that relationship would continue for all eternity. And so by being in relationship with God, not only praying to God, us talking to God, but praying in the sense of listening too, learning how to hear and discern God's voice, recognizing when he's speaking to us and trying to help us to the greatest joys that he has to offer us. Because as any good father, God the Father only wants what's best for us. And so everything that he gives us, everything that he teaches us, all the ways that he guides us is for our benefit. Not only to get us to heaven, but even for a taste of heaven here on earth. God loves us so much that not only did he become human, not only did he hide his divinity behind the appearance of humanity, he also came up with a way that he can stay with us even though he ascended into heaven. He came up with a way, since he is God, he can do whatever he wants, to be physically and completely present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. God comes to us at every Mass in the Eucharist. He hides not only his divinity, but also his humanity behind what still looks like bread and wine. Because he loves us so much that he doesn't want to just have us remember him in the past. He wants to be here with us now. Not just here with us now, but united with us now. There's a reason why we call it communion, because we are brought into union with the Lord by receiving him in the Eucharist. And the Lord desperately wants us to be united with him, for us to be in relationship with him. He created us for that purpose, but he gave us free will to choose whether or not we want to live a relationship with him, whether or not we want to pay attention to him. Sometimes with so much of the noise of the world, with sports and video games and movies and entertainment and work and more work, and all of the stuff, the material things, we get distracted about what really matters, what's truly important. We get distracted from the things that are eternal. And God knows that we're weak, and that's why he gives us ways to remember. He gives us reminders to always come together with him. It's not just us individually and God. He gave us the church so that together we can pursue a relationship with the Lord. So that by supporting each other, we can all get to heaven. God tells us to come to Mass weekly so that we're reminded of his love, so that we're filled with his grace, so that we can continue that relationship with him, even in the midst of all the distractions, all the noise, all of the problems of the world. But when we're in relationship with God, the problems of the world don't seem to be as bad. The problems of the world aren't as big a deal when we have our priorities straight. When we have God as our primary relationship and goal, union with Him forever in heaven. And so, God became man in order to save us, to give us the opportunity of heaven, in order to reveal to us the tremendous and awesome love He has for all of us, in order to show us the way of holiness. And God became man in order to share His divine life with us, even here and now on earth, so that we can share His divine life with Him forever in heaven. We should rejoice at the tremendous and awesome love that God has for us, that He would go to such extremes to invite us to be in relationship with Him, to invite us to be on that journey to heaven with Him, to invite us to be in communion with Him. So let us take a brief moment to thank the Lord for all the ways that He reaches out to us and tries to help us. We get to make a decision. We're not like the birds who are just kind of confused and lost. Are we going to follow the lead of God made man into safety? Or do we want to stay out in the cold? Let us thank the Lord for all the ways that He draws us to Himself as we prepare to encounter Him in the most Holy Eucharist.